Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch, and today we're going to talk NCAA Tournament Final Four. This is exciting. This is a very big, exciting time of year. I do want to address my own situation. I was off the air for a week or so because of serious health issues. Thank God that everything's okay. It was a scare, and it was tough. But, you know, I'm back doing what I love, talking to the audience about college basketball. We're near the end, Final Four. And these are four teams I like. So I get to sit back and just enjoy these basketball games between UNC and Syracuse and Villanova and Oklahoma. Good kids, good coaches that you really like. Jay Wright, I got to meet him, cool dude. Lon Kruger, Roy Williams, the legend, legendary Roy Williams, the legendary Jim Boeheim. Well, I had a chance. I really enjoyed my time with Jim Boeheim years ago during the time he was in the Big East. So let's go. I'm ready. You know, the call number is 646-564-9874. And we're going to talk college. But first, I got to talk about the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors. The Boston Celtics defeated the Golden State Warriors 109-106, and Golden State finally lost a game at home. Everybody's going to lose a game. San Antonio probably lose a game because Popovich has just hit everybody. San Antonio probably lose a game. It's going to happen. You know, and I say don't panic. Even when a couple weeks ago I did the show, Golden State lost to San Antonio. It happened. Everybody is just thinking that this is a perfect team. Nobody's perfect. I don't know if they're going to get the Bulls record. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. I still think they're the best. Even as they turned the ball over almost 30 times yesterday, they were still in the game. I just felt like after the third quarter, in my heart of hearts, there was no way that Golden State was going to win. I felt in my heart of hearts that Boston was going to win that game. They match up well with them size-wise. They can play small ball pretty good with Johnson at the point guard. Isaiah Thomas at the point guard. Solinger was strong inside. He's overweight. He's like a fat tubelard guy who could really play good basketball. But it works. Avery Bradley, you know that. And Evan Turner was big. He didn't miss any shots. Even some of the miracle shots he threw up. And he was a stabilizer, didn't miss any free throws. There was a time when Golden State made a comeback. And I thought Steve Kerr made a mistake by inserting Brandon Rush. You can't have Brandon Rush play at any time in the fourth quarter unless the game is well out of reach. He can't play. He stinks. And I've never seen him make a three on Golden State. I may have saw him make 2 points his whole career. And he tries. God bless him. He plays hard, but he was ineffective. There was a time they cut it to three and they had a fast break. Boston was in real trouble. You know, if Golden State gets this score, it's around 3 minutes left. Golden State will get the lead and they're in trouble. He fumbles the ball. It was a great pass. He fumbles the ball. Boston gets the fast break, go up five, and then they were able to just hold on until the end, and then Curry had a look. He missed it for a chance to go up and tie the game. It didn't happen, and Boston won. But, I mean, that's the type of team Boston is. They're the type of team that's going to go around and upset you. I don't know if they're going to San Antonio win, but they've won in Cleveland. They've won multiple times against Miami. But their only problem is I think when the playoffs come, they get beat first round. I think they're built to beat a lot of teams in the regular season. They have a great coach in Brad Stevens. They're coming up. They're doing well. I just think they're built to just have that game where they play over their head and they could beat a better team because of how hard they play and how good Brad Stevens coaches. You know, Isaiah Thomas is going to bring it every night. And they have a lot of decent pieces. They don't have a star. They have a star. Now they have a chance to come out of the East and be a contender, but they have a star. So they have a star who you can go to at all times. at the end of games. They're that close to being a team that could come out of the East and be good for a while. They're going to be a pain in the neck in the playoffs. I just think without a real go-to guy, they're going to come up a little short against, like if they had to play the Heat will figure out a way to beat them. You go to Wade, and if Bosch is healthy, you go to Bosch. Or you can go to Joe Johnson. And you got guys you can count on when the shot clock goes down. I don't know. Boston, they couldn't. They turned the ball over terribly against the Warriors late. And the Warriors were just so bad that they never took advantage of it. They were just due to lose. So that's good. You don't go undefeated. Then when the playoffs come, you lose one. Now you're in shock. Get that out of your system. Get ready for the playoffs. All right, now the final four. The first game I want to talk about is UNC and Syracuse. And there are a lot of key matchups here. A lot of key matchups. And I watched those games. I watched the first game in particular where UNC played Syracuse. And I'll tell you what was a big – Syracuse's 2-3 zone is very confusing. They use their link. Jim Boeheim uses his link with Tyler Robeson in the middle, Malachi Richardson on the top up top. And you have a hard time trying to navigate inside and out. But what Carolina did, and they did it all night, even when Syracuse was incredibly hot from the outside, they had to be because Carolina scored time and time again when Bryce Johnson kept feeding the ball constantly to Kennedy Meeks or to Joel James inside, and it pounded them inside. But they pounded them inside in a different way, not in a traditional post way, but a consistently high-low way where Bryce Johnson always flashed toward the foul line in the middle of the zone where it could be vulnerable. He catches the ball, goes up, either scores inside with a little mid-range jump shot or the foul line jump shot, which he's comfortable with, or he's kept fading no-look passes and great passes. And every once in a while, Marcus Paige would sneak under the baseline and get the ball in a cut situation, they'd score, and Carolina would be off to the races. And you can't have that. And their game is inside. So, and also, Carolina's hitting their jump shot. Nate Britt is hitting balls, hitting shots from the outside, and you know Marcus Paige is playing at a high level his senior year. They get it. I called them soft. I said they're soft as church music. I didn't know if they were man enough to beat a team like Kansas. Kansas is not even here. They have answered the bell. I give them full credit the way they're playing. Kenny Williams is playing good. The X factor for Carolina, I'm going to tell you right now, is Justin Jackson. Because he's good from the outside. He'll hit a three. He'll slash. Carolina wants to get on that patented Carolina Dean Smith fast break that Roy Williams learned because he was under Dean Smith, and he's very good on that break with him and Bryce Johnson and Page with that speed link. And he's got that cute little hook shot in the lane, whether it's a right hook, a little left hook. A lot of times he uses his IQ, high IQ level player, really good defender because of his lane. Carolina's playing good defense. Notre Dame, the reason why that game was close, Notre Dame played out of their minds. That was like Villanova 1985, the way Notre Dame was playing, and they still lost. So that doesn't always bode well for Syracuse. But I'm going to give you a key for Syracuse beating North Carolina. That zone has to be tightened up a little. Just make sure you locate Johnson when you're inside. Make Carolina shoot the ball, long shots. You're very good at running. Make the game. You don't want to go crazy up tempo because Carolina likes that. But make it a game where it's an outside shooting game, Malachi, and then make it a game where Tyler Robeson, who's a very good rebounder, tries to take advantage of some offensive rebounds, which Carolina really hasn't been exposed. Carolina, before this run, as big as they were, they had trouble getting offensive rebounds. They had gotten pushed around. So teams pushed them around, got offensive rebounds on them, and you could score. Tyler Robeson is going to have to figure out how to do that, even though it's a lot harder. Carolina is a lot more focused. It's going to be very difficult. I like Carolina But that's I wouldn't be surprised at all if Syracuse wins, just because of the fact that they got the guys. I mean, if Tyler London is an X factor for Syracuse, if he could come to play and he plays like the NBA prospect he is, that's just it. If Duan Coleman, Derek Coleman's cousin, if he plays and keeps Bryce Johnson at bay, they got a chance. And if that don't, now they got to get ahead. If they get ahead, maybe Carolina presses. Now that zone becomes a pain in the neck, because now you're pressing, and now that zone is active, and now you're settling. Now you're frustrated because you don't want to settle. You want to go inside and establish your inside game. That's going to be a key. But now here's the problem with Syracuse. Now, if you fall behind 20 like you did and you miss some shots, and they got to hit shots, Cooney and Benajay have to be terrific from that side. And Benajay's a very talented player. At times, he makes very dumb decisions. Against UVA, when Virginia choked, which was a choke job, by the way, when they made the comeback, he would still make a dumb shot even when they were making the comeback. But he's aggressive, takes some very, very, very questionable shots. And Cooney has to be unconscious from the outside. Hughes can't fall behind 14-20. Not against Carolina, and then try to unleash that press. Because now Carolina likes that. Now they can run. Oh, you want to press us? Okay. We like this kind of game. Up tempo. Let's go. Johnson, Page, and they can get it up court. And even Kenny Meeks runs the floor as big as he is. I like Carolina by 5, but wouldn't surprise me if Q's won at all. Now, the next game is Oklahoma versus Villanova, a great, and I mean great, matchup. I think the key for Villanova is they have to play really, really smart on heel. I think they have to run. At the end of the game, you got to run a double on Buddy Hield. You got to get the ball out of his hands, and Isaiah Cousins has to beat me. I think that's going to be the biggest key. I think you put Jenkins, whether it is Archie Achido on Hield or Jenkins with his length, you have to play really, really – you have to play Hield really, really smart, and you cannot give up. And I mean this. You cannot, and you got to run multiple defenses against Oklahoma, because Buddy Hield has seen everything. He's averaging over 30 points a game in the tournament. He's hitting big threes. Bridges Hart, and Bridges is the long kid that could cover Hield. He has to use his length and his smarts, and don't foul him at the 3-point line. But you got to be aggressive, and Hart has to be smart. And Archie. Archie's got to be big time, you know. He's got to be big time. Archie Achido, he's the type of kid at point guard for Villanova, and the coach loves him. He has to be the type of guy that imposes his will in the game, whether it's a steal at the end of the game, whether it's a three, whether it's a big-time assist, whether it's stabilizing the team when Oklahoma makes a run, whether it's going out there guarding Buddy Hield, trying to – and Buddy Hield might post him up. He might get a steal at the key game. That's going to be huge for Villanova. I'm going to tell you what Villanova could do, and they'll win the game if they do this. Get the ball to Oshefu. They didn't do it enough against Kansas, even though they won, because he was unguardable with a little left of the lane, little left bank shot, little right hook of the lane, up and under move. He's got a lot of little sneaky, savvy moves in the post. And Villanova needs to exploit that. There's no way Spangler could guard him. But Latin, you know, as big as he is, could give him trouble because he's a shot blocker. But still, he's handled. He's handled that. He's handled shot blockers. They just don't invest in that enough. And they're going to have to hit the shots from the outside. I don't pay attention to the early season game where Oklahoma beat Villanova 70-55. That's not going to happen. But I'm going to tell you what the key to Oklahoma winning is. Woodard, got to make shots. Isaiah Cousins, got to make shots. This is big. They got to make shots because if Jay Wright's going to run doubles on Buddy Hield, Clay Hill's going to give the ball up. He's going to trust the senior teammate, and they got to make shots. And can they do that? That's going to be a huge, huge, huge key. And then also with Villanova, can Jalen Brunson score? Can they make Buddy Hield play some defense? Can Josh Hart make Buddy Hield play defense? Can Chris Jenkins, big shot Chris Jenkins, a little overweight, one of the better overweight players. I've talked about that with Sullinger. He's not quite overweight, Sullinger, but he can shoot it, and he's crafty. He can get around you for a guy with that size. And Villanova was on a major run. They beat Kansas. They just gutted. They out-gutted Kansas. And Kansas, well, that's another day and time. I'll talk about Kansas and Bill Self and big games. I should have just left that alone. I'm very upset that I picked Kansas to win it all. And I picked either Kansas or North Carolina to win it all. That was very dumb on my part to understand that. There, at times, they could be allergic to pressure. Yeah. And Villanova was good. And it was time for Jay Wright because of the fact that he was criticized for not getting out of the first round the last couple of years. This group was on a mission, and they're still on a mission. But Oklahoma's on a mission because they're seniors too. You got these senior-oriented basketball teams that are going to just give it their all. This is going to be a knockout, drag-out, all-day affair that I give Oklahoma a one-point edge, Cousins hitting a shot. I think Hield gets double-teamed. Cousins hits a little jump shot at the foul line. They win by a point. Villanova can definitely win this game. It wouldn't surprise me if Villanova played Syracuse or Villanova played North Carolina or North Carolina played Oklahoma. I'm going to go with Carolina-Oklahoma in the final. But it's going to be very competitive. Neither game surprises me because of how impressed I am with all four teams. And this college basketball season, when it first started out, I said, I don't like the talent level. It's just not acceptable. But I get to see the Buddy Hield. I get to see your seniors. I get to see guys other than the Ben Simmons. I get to see Ingram, the kid from Duke. And, you know, kids that are going to be drafted, it's going to be a good draft. And it was a good year. It was a competitive year. It wasn't a super talented year with all-time great teams going at it with the Carl Townsends and the Wisconsin. And the Duke had a lot of talent, too. And Michigan State had talent. But it was good, solid teams. Did what they had to do. You had some great matchups in the tournament. Virginia, Syracuse was a great matchup. Even though Virginia choked. Yeah, a lot of really good matchups, and it was a great tournament. I'm looking forward to these games Monday. I'm looking forward to the championship game Monday to see who's in it. But I hope that the dome in Houston doesn't affect the shooting and the way the lighting is set up. And then I don't like the atmosphere. I like Indianapolis because it seems like the crowd is right on top of the players and you have both home teams. I hope the crowd doesn't get lost in this kind of game where you kind of get lost watching it and the crowd is not as loud and you get the corporate sponsors there and you have both teams, but you don't have a full representation of both teams back and forth. So I wonder how that's going to play out watching the game. Because the regionals were serious. I feel like there's more pressure in the regional. We have a caller. Hello, this is Coast to Coast Radio Show. It's Ron Fitch.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I just want to know, what's your take on Mayweather and Bronner?
Oh, goody. I'm glad you wanted to bring this up. Here's my take on Mayweather Bronner. Floyd Mayweather is retired. And he decided to move on, and it's got to the point I've kind of had my fill of every single person in the world calling him. I understand his little feelings were hurt because Floyd was his big brother, and he said he needed to put in more work and be more dedicated. He should be. I want to address Adrian Broner. Adrian Broner has got to stop taking all the stuff from the street because I believe he has an armed robbery case pending. So he has to worry about making sure he stays out of prison, because you're not going to have a fight in prison. Floyd Mayweather's retired. But if Adrian Broner really wanted to be a real man, he comes on that press conference yesterday and says, listen, I want Sean Porter. He beat me. I'm going to take care of Sean Porter. And then when I deal with Sean Porter, if Floyd wants to come out of retirement, I'll take him on. But first things first, I want to take care of the guy that beat me up, and that's Sean Porter. He'd have been a real man if he'd have did that. I'd have been real impressed. You know, move up and fight Sean Porter, because he didn't even make weight yesterday, even though that fight was on and he won easily against Telefane, who's about a C fighter. And he doesn't have much of a resume if you look at it. His only resume was two named fighters. Now, Sean Porter, we lost to, and Molina, who he lost to. And he doesn't want to rematch either of them. That's what I'm chasing. If I'm a star and I said I'm the best, and somebody beats me like Porter beat me, oh, I'm chasing Porter up and down the globe until we can get a rematch. I'll take less money to get a rematch to beat him. Now that I got that out of the way, now we can talk about, okay, now I got my first signature win. He has no signature win. He's just a lot of talk. He's just way too ghetto, and he carries himself like a step and fetch it. Old, I can't mention what I want to mention, but you can't do that, and I'm extremely ashamed of him as a black man. How does that sound? That's my opinion on Broder, since you brought it up.
So you don't see that Mayweather runner fighting?
That's not happening.
No time, so.
No, please. Mayweather looked at him and laughed like, are you kidding me? Everybody called Mayweather. I'm waiting for Iggy Azalea to call Mayweather out now.
I guess it would be like me calling Mayweather out.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the deal. Let's stay with the present here and now. You got Keith Thurman. You got Sean Porter. Let's talk about guys who want to fight. You know what Keith Thurman said, which I like? Okay, Floyd retired. I want to fight guys who are fighting right now, who are active. I can't worry about Floyd and payday. I want to take on guys. I want to be the best who are fighting right now. I can't worry about Pacquiao, who's going to retire, or Floyd, who's retired. I want to fight, and he is. He's going to fight Sean Porter. So that, I respect a guy like Keith Thurman more than some clown, some ghetto, slightly above average boxing skills clown like Adrian Broner. Do yourself, tap dance your way with your buck dance your way off the stage. Give me some boxers who are really boxers who are dedicated to the sport, to somebody who's calling out Floyd. And that's the easy thing to do. Everybody's calling him out. Now he's retired. Stop. And then you overreacted to a average win. Okay, you won on Spike TV against Telefane, who's okay. And it took you all night to beat the guy. You should have beat him in three rounds. See, I'm real when I do my radio show. People, you're listening to ESPN. Oh, the hype. Oh, he called him out. First of all, let me ask you this.
Before the fight, who did you have winning? Did you have Bronner winning?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know who Telefane was. Everybody said how good he was. I go look, and I said, oh, this guy's too small. He's too small to go in there and fight Broner, who's a big. And Broner could really just sit there 140 pounds and really make it. If he had a vision, he could really say, listen, I'll call out the guys who are active. I'll call Terrence Crawford out, and we can make a ton of money. Or there's other fighters on the 135. I could really be a star if I had a vision. He has no vision. All he wants to do is talk ghetto trash, try to get him a payday. He says he's about billions. Billionaires are CEOs of companies who have visionaries who are the type that won't be involved in any type of armed robbery in the streets, and you won't see that. So if you're really about billions, you show some class. I don't know how that case is going to go down. But it was him and his boys. And them are your boys, you get rid of them. I can't hang with boys that deal with armed robbery. I got a sports show to do. But it's different. And then, you know, this is another problem, Kenny. Let's just deal with society. Yesterday he said, I'm from the hood. We can handle this from the streets, Floyd, or we can box. Now, say, for instance, he does have to stand trial. You know how slick these lawyers are. Some prosecutor will sit back and play the tape and be like, well, we're, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we're dealing with a guy who is, he's not just a boxer, but he's a street hood. He'll go back and take Adrian Broner's words and legally use them against him in a trial. Did that dummy ever think about that?
Yeah,
legally. I sat there and watched that. I said, legally, some prosecutors looking for a name might use Adrian Broner to move up the political line and try to get him prosecuted by using his own actions at that press conference and words and try to craft an argument that he – see, this guy's dangerous, folks. People in the United States and the jury – this is a dangerous young man. You don't want him on the streets. And they'll use Broner's own words against him. And he's not even thinking, you got a trial coming up, dummy.
Yeah, you're right. Good point.
I'm passionate about young African-Americans acting classless. And I know that people don't think that's a big deal and the other stations do, but I got to be true to myself, Kenny, when I do a show. If somebody won't speak out against it, I will. I'll do it every show.
Oh.
You know? I'm so glad you called to bring that up, Doc.
All right.
And I'm going to send this to boxing sites or whatever and let them look at it. If you want to be critical and I'm overcritical, that's fine. I'm who I am. And I ain't changing.
Oh.
You know?
All right, then.
Okay. I appreciate the call.
Not a problem.